coming in as Lube. Gilladyke centered it.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Here it is, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hey, happy Wednesday. Let's get going this hour on Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. How we doing? Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. Preseason moving towards its midway point. Flames will be midway through or halfway through their preseason following Wednesday's game in Abbotsford against the Vancouver Canucks. Hello, Wes.
How are you, buddy?
I'm well, man. It is beautiful in Calgary. It is a perfect early fall, late summer day. I think we are technically into autumn now. September 21 is the demarcation point.
We are in fall.
Glorious early fall day here in Calgary. You know, one of the, I think, prevailing thoughts that exists out there right now among some Flames fans, and understandably, this is not a criticism or this is not me saying, how dare you think this? What are you thinking? I fully understand why this is a prevailing thought out there. But one of the thoughts out there right now as the Flames approach 1 week into training camp is the top nine forward group can't be cracked. It's set and ready to go. And you can understand why. They've essentially had the three lines together the entire time. The Kadri line with Kuzmenko and Sharon Govich. The Backlund line with Coleman and newcomer Zeri. And that new-look Pospisil line at center with Huberdeau and Mantha. Those three have been together throughout camp and have played preseason games together. Each one of those lines has played one preseason game together.
Did you think about running that theory past somebody today?
Well, on Tuesday's show, we suggested that if you brought that up and mentioned that to Ryan Huska, he might say that that is not the case. And that was floated. And I get the reason. Again, this is not a criticism. It was Wilsey who was asking him about Matt Coronato and the route to getting on the roster. And this is kind of went exactly the way you'd think it would if you're the head coach. Don't tell Ryan Huska that the top nine is set.
With Coronato, with everybody healthy right now, it kind of looks like your top nine is set. Could you see him starting in a fourth line role?
I don't think our top nine set. I mean, I don't think that's fair to say for the guys that are working to make an impression. So we've told them they have opportunity to push people out of positions. In Matt's situation, there's all sorts of different ways that you can look at him. If you had to use him in a fourth line role, I've said before, I don't think he's a fourth line player. But in certain situations, you can use him there and then also use him on a power play. Or if someone's having a night where they're not able to keep the pace of the game, you can bump people like that up the lineup pretty easily. So there's different ways that you can look at it for sure.
So that's an important message. A non-surprising, but an important message, right? Good news for Matt Coronato. That was the genesis of Wilsey's question. Good news for Sam Hanzek or whomever it might be. Good news for people who want to see Connor Zeri at center. I don't think that even everything in terms of positionally is set at this point. So that's an important message and something that I think is even important if you're a fan to take into account as you move into the second half of training camp. You know, I've seen so many training camps at this point in my life that I've seen lines be one way for 2 days, and then 2 days later they're changed. Like, we've seen that.
Yeah.
Or I've seen lines be together for a week, and then they change to something else for the second week of training camp. There's still 2 weeks to go, a little more than 2 weeks to go until the start of the regular season, which means there's still plenty of time for Ryan Huska to test things out like he's doing in Wednesday's preseason game. Huberdeau's not playing. Kadri's not playing. Backlund's not playing. Coleman's not playing. Sharon Govich and Kuzmenko aren't playing. But Coronato, Pospisil, and Zeri are, and they're all on the same line. So there's our first true experimentation with your quote-unquote top nine, right?
Yeah, I think that's an absolutely fair way to put it. And Ryan Huska and Craig Conroy as well, you can lump them together here, I think. like they've been very true to their word about making space for people who have proven they deserve it, right? And but I think we're oftentimes guilty of looking at the lines 2 days into camp or 5 days into camp and assuming that, you know, that's the way it's going to remain in October and November. And I think part of promoting the competition that they're so keen on is letting a few lines stick together for a few days and then starting to sprinkle some different pieces in there, showing Matt Coronato. And I think it was very deliberate by Ryan Huskett to leave Matt Coronato and Jacob Pelche out of what would be considered the NHL spots at the start of training camp.
You've like talked a lot about some of the buttons that Ryan Huskett is pushing. Is that one of them?
Absolutely, that's one of them. I'll talk about another one that's not necessarily related to this conversation, but how about sending Jonathan Huberdeau and Anthony Mantha and Rasmus Andersson to a split squad game in Edmonton?
I'm sure they were thrilled about
it. There is a, like, that's, look at the roster the Oilers sent here. That's the sort of roster you typically send on the road for those split squad games. I think Ryan Huska, who did a really impressive job in his first season of squeezing a lot out of his team, power play maybe not included, but that wasn't necessarily his doing. I feel like there's a real effort being made by the coach to make sure nobody feels too comfortable this season. And back now to Coronato and Pelche, starting with minor league line mates, that's a big part of it. You can believe that Matt Coronato, who has 5 points in 2 preseason games, is going to get more looks with NHL line mates, as he does tonight with Connor Zary and Martin Pospisil. You can believe that if Sam Honzek continues to clip along, he's going to play a preseason game where he looks to his right and sees an NHL center and an NHL right winger, or maybe a left winger, however they choose to deploy it. Like, you better believe that those things are going to happen, but we're still in the sort of cultivating competition phase of it, where it's like, yeah, show me you earn it. Show me I have to give you a look there.
A few offshoots of this now. So you hear that top nine's not set. That wouldn't be fair to the guys pushing for jobs. And so there's a number of different ways we can go. So if you're Coronato, if you're Honzek, if you're Klapka, whoever, that's a good message to hear. And Coronato has been, in my eyes, the most impressive guy fighting for a job in camp for a second consecutive year as we approach 1 week in. But it also, one of the flies in the ointment here is who's going to play center. And is Marty Pospisil going to be a full-time center? He has been for a week, but is that something that's going to continue? And I asked Ryan Huska a little bit about Pospisil playing center on Wednesday morning.
Have you gotten what you wanted to see with Pospisil playing down the middle?
No. I want to see him. So tonight he's playing in the middle again, different line mates, but I want to see him in the middle of the ice live. And then I'd like to see him again with Mantha and Hubie again. So I just want to see if he's able to do it without losing what makes him a really effective hockey player for us. We all know he's got that great speed. He's in people's face all the time. He's first on forechecks. Nobody likes to play against him, but I wanted to play that way as a centerman. So it's just a little bit of time. I want to give him every opportunity that we can to be comfortable in that position without losing his identity.
And you asked a question to Marty Pospisil about playing down the middle on Wednesday morning as well.
Is there anything for you, like in these preseason games at center, is there anything you really want to be focused on as far as it goes to playing that position?
I try to play good defensively, and you know, it's different in this zone, like a winger, have the trust from the coaches, and trying to show that I can play center.
So I don't think that position is set in stone by any means right now. I think that they are committed to giving a long look to Pospisil down the middle.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we won't see preseason games with Zary at center. We haven't yet. He's not going to in this game against the Canucks. But there's still 4 more games to go after Wednesday night. I think that we'll see Zary at center at some point during the preseason. Maybe Sharon Govich as well. And more Pospisil. They know that Pospisil can play the wing. They know that that might be the best place for him, but they're going to give the long look to him down the middle. I think it's important to point out that Pospisil, Mantha, and Huberdeau is something they want to try and give a long look to, but is not written in stone to start the regular season, nor are any of the other lines.
Well, and I think the difference with Pospisil as it pertains to playing center is it's something we didn't see at the NHL level when he was a rookie, right? It's something, quite frankly, they didn't do in the American Hockey League the previous couple of seasons when he was able to be out there. And so, you know, we know Yegor Sharangovich can pinch hit at center, I think is an appropriate way to put it. We saw for six games at the end of last season what Connor's area at center could look like. I think part of the reason we're seeing Pospisil get that first quote-unquote audition up the middle is that's the one they don't know about. You know, you can look at the footage from the World Championships or from the Olympic qualifier that Martin Pospisil played in Slovakia just before returning to Calgary. You can look at that video and think, okay, I liked what he did there. I'm sure Ryan Huska talked to Craig Ramsey or people in the Slovak Hockey Federation about what they liked and didn't like about Martin Pospisil at center, but they want to see it on the small ice and at the NHL level. And I think the reason he's getting that first audition is because that's where the mystery is. We know what it looked like for Connor's area at the end of last season. We know what it looked like for Yegor Sharangovich. We know the pluses and minuses of both. You know, you look at Sharangovich, for example, you know how responsible he is, yet you know he's not great on faceoffs and struggled to get the shot off, one of his greatest strengths, right? And so, you know, can Yegor Sharangovich use his greatest strength being his shot at center? Can Martin Pospisil, as Ryan Huska was asking aloud this morning, can he use his greatest strength, which is being a you-know-what disturber on the forecheck? Can he do that at center? That's what the coach is trying to find out.
Well, and then here's another name that could enter the conversation. If you listen to the first hour and our way too early hot takes, a certain Wes Gilbertson had a take on Sam Morton where you think Morton's going to play NHL games this year. Well, I think there's, and whether it's right now, maybe not, but with everything being, I think, still wide open in terms of how the Flames see this roster and see their forward line combination, so on and so forth, I think that down the road, there could absolutely be opportunity. This was Ryan Huska when you asked him about Sam Morton earlier on Wednesday as well.
I've been very impressed in a lot of different ways. I thought he was probably our best player in Penticton in the games that I saw. And he's carried that through his practices with us, and he's carried it through the games that he's played for us. So not really knowing a lot about him, the Wrangler coaches talked about how impressed they were with him, with his hockey sense and his ability. But I've quite liked him because I think he's a very intelligent player. He's gritty, but he also has a skill set that allows him to play with really good players. So when you watch a guy on the power play like he's been on the last little bit, he makes plays under sticks. He sees the areas where he can pass pucks to. So you see the sense or the skill side of him, but he's also a competitor that is positionally sound, so it allows him to kill penalties too. So there's a lot there that we've liked so far, and he's done a really good job of having a good day every day, if you will. He hasn't had a bad day yet.
So there's Ryan Huska with some pretty glowing words for Sam Morton, who you wrote about a little earlier on this. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday that you wrote about Sam?
Just earlier today.
Okay, yeah, today. Okay.
Up at the Post media sites. And I mean, can you ask for much better praise from your head coach than hasn't had a bad day yet?
No.
Not.
And he's been in camp for a little less than 2 weeks now,
right?
Compared to the other guys.
And so you hear the everyday league stuff all the time. You know, Ryan Huska referenced it in another answer during his media availability this morning. You hear that everyday league stuff, and it's part of the maturity that I've talked about with Sam Morton as a player and as a prospect, is that at 25, he's a more developed player. He gets that everyday part of it, and might not, as a result, ride the roller coaster that some of the the young rookies might. Now, he'll be the first to tell you he kind of shakes his head in a very complimentary way at the idea of some of these kids looking like they could belong in the NHL at 19 or 20. He'll be the first to tell you he needed that time in college. He needed to mature physically. He needed to put on weight. But, yeah, pretty, like, a real eye-opening performance going back to Penticton, even going back to development camp. I know his testing results were really strong. As Ryan Huska said, there's a lot to like there.
Read some text at 960-960. First, Colin. I've been fighting with the lines for so long, trying to put both Pelche and Coronado in the lineup. How would you guys do it? I'm just curious. Pelche, I think, has got a chance to outfight Walker Dewar or Dryden Hunt or somebody like that to be on the fourth line. That, mm-hmm. to me, is the most immediate path for Pelche.
It's still, to just piggyback on, I know you weren't finished, but it still feels like the most likely opening night fourth line is Lomberg, Rooney, Pelche. Does it not?
Yeah, if for me, yes.
Yeah.
They have been rolling Dewar there a lot in mm-hmm. training camp, but again, I think that's one of those buttons being pushed from the head coach.
Yeah.
As for Coronado,
who's Jacob Pelche playing with tonight?
He is playing with...
Sorry, I'm just trying to remember. Quickly go look. Yeah.
He is with Morton and Dewar.
Okay. Interesting looking fourth line right there.
Even though it's the second line for this game in Vancouver.
I don't number mine, Pat.
That's fair. Very fair. As for Coronado, there's a few different ways. We talked a little bit about that on Tuesday, whether it's maybe you got to move a Mantha down the lineup. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
Or have both Zeri and Pospisil at center, which would mean a guy like Pospisil might have to be a quote-unquote number four center. That is a different way. Or injury. You don't ever hope for injury. That's why I'm knocking on wood. But that would be, it happens, and that would be another way.
Well, it's always really easy to glom on to what we see from the line combinations. And they are a great indicator of who it appears will be slotting where, but we're going to get to the point as practices go on. We're certainly at the point already in preseason games. When you're deciding on your fourth line, special teams is a huge part of it.
Yes.
Right? We heard Ryan Huska talk about potentially using Matt Coronado. And for those who missed it, I want to be careful how I characterize it. He essentially said, I've said before, I don't view Matt Coronado as a fourth line player, but could you put him in a fourth line role if he was going to play some power play, et cetera? That was his sort of take as he was telling the media earlier today that the top nine's not set.
Yep.
And answering that question from our buddy Wilsey about whether Matt Coronado might be considered as a fourth line option. And so, if you're talking about Coronado power play, how do we get him in the lineup? Well, you're going to have the same on the other side of the equation with penalty kill too, which will very much go into, you know, if Jacob Pelche can look really good on the penalty kill, if Sam Morton can emerge as a really strong penalty killer, something that the guy he'd be trying to steal a job from and Kevin Rooney is very good at.
Yep.
You know, that all goes into the equation.
This reads, I think Pospisil may resemble Bennett and the straight line hard game is something that works with Huberdeau. That's what I think Flames are hoping for.
There's a degree of sort of recklessness in both of their games that's very similar.
This reads from TJ, Pospisil's the only one around the league that can bring back the breathing strip with a tinted visor and look cool doing it. He does have a little swag out there with the tinted visor, no doubt about it.
You know, he's got some swag, period.
Yep. I'm a big fan. And boy, Pospisil's shoe game was 10 out of 10 on Wednesday morning. Rocking some like red, bright green, and purple Air Max ones.
Yeah.
Oof.
It's pretty strong. Pretty strong.
10 out of 10 on the shoe game for Pospisil.
You're like, I know you're coming up on 40 quick. Pretty soon you'll be asking what kind of orthotics he has in those.
Easy 40-year-old.
warning you. Just true. Warning you.
It just hits like that all of a sudden.
Like a ton of bricks.
Nobody can seriously believe the top nine isn't set. What is the coach supposed to say? That, yeah, don't bother, the lines are set. He's saying it, but he doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean it one bit. Texas calling Ryan Huska a full-on liar. I don't believe that. I do believe that they would like to have a super hard decision specifically with number 27.
We get tricked into this every year, and the media is as guilty as anybody. We start to see what happens in the first 7 days of camp and think it's set. And I'm not calling Ryan Huska's bluff on this. I think even if we just see, like, rest assured that this top nine, even if it's the same nine players, that these are not the only line iterations he wants to look at.
Yeah, agreed. This one, if the young kids continue to have such strong camps, do you think it puts pressure on the GM to look at trading away another veteran? Potentially. It may expedite a process, or it may make him more open to something that maybe he was less enamored of prior.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair. We continue to see how difficult it is to make trades of any sort in the NHL in the early stages of a season. But I think it's a fair point.
Good stuff on the text line. 960-960 Steinberg West along with you this hour on Flames Talk. We're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This hour of Flames Talk rolls on. Steinberg along with you on a Wednesday. And Wednesdays mean we check in with our Pacific Division insider. It's time to spin around the Pacific Division with some news and some previews to finish up. It's time to say hello to Jonathan Davis from NHL Network and NHL Network Radio on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Hello, JD. How are we doing on this Wednesday, buddy?
Pat, we're doing great. Beautiful day. Hockey's, around, regular season around the corner. It's all good.
All good indeed. Beautiful here in Calgary as well. We love it. We love it. Last week when we began our Wednesday chats for the year, we dove in on a few team previews and training camp previews. We talked about the teams in your neck of the woods, Anaheim, San Jose, Los Angeles, and we also hit on Vancouver. So we got three other teams to do when it comes to their training camp and or season previews, and a little bit of news around the Pacific Division as well. So lots to get into. And why don't we start in Las Vegas with the Vegas Golden Knights, who made the playoffs again last year, but were knocked out in seven by the Dallas Stars. How do you see the Vegas Golden Knights this year? I know you've got some Eichel Olofsson stuff we want to talk about, but just on a more general standpoint, this is one of the most successful teams over the last 5 years or so, but how do you see the Vegas Golden Knights in 24-25?
Well, I mean, I still see them as one of the top three teams, I think, in the Pacific Division. It's going to be a different look, though. I mean, familiar names, no longer there. I mean, obviously, the big one being Jonathan Marchessault, gone to Nashville, and Alec Martinez gone to Chicago. So for the first time in quite some time, at least, on the blue line, you're going to have a different group of six defensemen. And Marchessault, that's a big loss for this team, both on and off the ice, such an integral part, one of the original misfits. But look, I think that I'm excited to see what a guy like Victor Olofsson can do in Vegas. He played with Jack Eichel in Buffalo, had one of his best seasons playing alongside Jack Eichel. They've had a chance to start that chemistry or rebuild that chemistry here through training camp and in the early part of the preseason. And then the other one is Alexander Holtz, who comes over from Jersey. I mean, this is a guy, a former first-round draft pick that just never could, it didn't work for him in New Jersey under Lindy Ruff, a guy that, definitely can score. I think the question with Alexander Holtz has been, can he play, it's a 200-foot game that Lindy was stressing, and Bruce Cassidy's not going to be much different. But, this is a guy that could definitely score, and they're going, when you look at, okay, how do you replace the – the offense that's lost from by Marchessault. Well, I think, you know, Vegas is hoping that, you know, Holtz and Olsson are two of the guys that can help, you know, that can bring, you know, get you back those 40 goals. And, you know, we'll see another guy that with some Stanley Cup pedigree is Tanner Pearson. He's in camp on a PTO. And then you look at the goaltending situation. They bring in Ilya Samsonov, and, you know, listening to the comments from Kelly McCrimmon, I mean, you know, he's very confident that Sean Burke, who has done a lot of solid work with, you know, the goaltenders in the Vegas system, that they really feel that, you know, Samsonov is someone that, you know, that they can work with and get him back to where he was. And hey, if nothing else, you know, for people who cover the Golden Knights day in and day out, it's a great post-game interview.
Yeah, for sure it is. The Eichel Olofsson thing's interesting, hey? Trying to recreate some magic back from the Buffalo days.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, look, this is a guy that, you know, look, you used to call him Victor Golovson. I mean, he can score.
That first year he came in, like, he started like a house on fire in Buffalo.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, lost his confidence, lost his way in Buffalo. And, you know, look, last year, especially in Buffalo, was a dumpster fire. I mean, to hear the comments from Tage Thompson, you know, at their locker cleanout, meet, you know, availability, and Thompson talking about the fact that, you know, this was a team that just, you know, the effort level wasn't there. And I don't want to hear that from the guy that's supposed to be one of their leaders. So I think, you know, a fresh start, some familiarity. You know, the other thing for Olofsson is he goes to a team, and William Karlsson had talked about the fact there's now four Swedes on this team with Karlsson, Holtz, Olofsson, and Robert Haig. And so, you know, I think having a little, you know, having some other countrymen there will also help make that transition a lot easier for Olofsson. And I'm sure, you know, look, hey, you're going to the Vegas Golden Knights, and you know that you're on a team that, making the playoffs is something that they do, not like in Buffalo where, you know, it's been over a decade since they've made the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's move to Seattle. The Kraken missed the playoffs last year. And they still have some nice players to build around, a couple of additions in the offseason. What's your view on this Kraken team?
Well, I think the one thing that they are missing, in my opinion, they don't have that real star player yet on that team. There's not that needle mover in Seattle. I mean, Matty Beniers has the potential to be that guy. You know, Jared McCann had an off year last year. You know, they went through a lot of growing pains. I think that the signing of Chandler Stephenson, and, you know, you can balk at the contract that he got. But I think that for Seattle, you know, I'm just going to look at it for this year and what it means for this year and next year. I'm not crazy about it, but they need a guy like Chandler Stephenson on that team because he'll take away, you know, some of those tougher matchups from a Matty Beniers and takes, you know, can slot Beniers and, you know, he can take tougher matchups at center night in and night out. He'll kill penalties. There are a lot of things that Chandler Stephenson does. So I think that's a really good add to the team. And then you add, you know, you get Brandon Montour. This is a guy that, you know, it's interesting to see how Seattle manages that first, you know, unit power play because Vince Dunn, you know, had a solid year, got himself a big contract. So you've got Dunn and Montour on the back end. Joey DeCord was at a one season wonder in Seattle, put up outstanding numbers for the Kraken, took over. You know, it looks like he is going to be the starting guy out in Seattle. There are some good pieces. I think that they are a team that's going to be playing meaningful games in March and into April. Can they be a team that makes that leap and gets themselves back into the playoffs? It's possible. And, you know, the other thing would be Shane Wright. I mean, this is where, you know, it looks like he will slot in as the third line center this year. And, you know, that's something that, you know, we've been waiting for him to blossom. But, hey, Dan Bylsma knows this kid well. He's coached him for a couple of years. down at the Coachella Valley. So, you know, there's that good relationship that he's got, I would think, with Shane Wright. So, interesting. Oh, and we've got the first female coach ever in the NHL as well in Seattle. So,
that's,
you
right.
know, there's some good storylines in Seattle. Look, I like I said, I think they're a team that's going to play meaningful games definitely in March. Can they carry that into April? Not sure, but, you know, I think that, you know, they're worth a very – to me, they're, as I like to call it, they're a pizza money – I'd make a pizza money bet on the Kraken to make the playoffs. I think that there's a shot that they can get in.
Okay. We are chatting with Jonathan Davis of NHL Network, NHL Network Radio. He's our Pacific Division Insider Wednesdays here on Flames Talk. Last preview, and then we'll finish off with some injury news out of Vancouver. But last preview, the Edmonton Oilers, the defending Western Conference champions who were a couple shots away from winning the Stanley Cup in an epic series against Florida a few months ago. I think we all know what the expectations are in Edmonton. What's your kind of 200-foot view on them entering the year?
Am I allowed to say nice things about them on Calgary Radio there?
Yeah,
is that allowed?
We'll allow it.
I mean, look, you know, obviously the latest news with Edmonton is the Evander Kane situation. We'll have surgery back sometime, late January, February, so gives them a little more cap space to work with. Love what they've done, you know, the additions of Victor Arvidsson and Jeff Skinner. You know, that top six looks deadly. You know, what happens to them on the blue line? Who plays on the right side, you know, with Darnell Nurse? I mean, that becomes a question, you know, when they lost or decided not to match the Broberg deal. So, you know, I think that this is a team that there's still that question on the back end. And can they, you know, is it going to hurt them? When do they make a deal? Because that's the belief, you know, that they decided not to match the Broberg contract, because they'll drag it out and they'll find a way to, you know, to add to the blue line. That's something that's the biggest question for me at Edmonton. But the top six looks really good. Now, Victor Arvidsson, you know, the one issue with him is staying healthy. And that's been a big issue. But, you know, look, I don't think that the Edmonton Oilers are too concerned about, you know, finishing first. It's all about just get in. And, you know, after what they went through last year, I mean, you know, they understand the process. And I'll tell you, the one thing I'm very interested to see is the Amazon special that they're doing with the NHL players and teams. And, you know, the stuff that they shot during the playoffs last year, I've been told, with the Oilers inside the locker room of Game 7 is just incredible TV. Hearing the speech that Connor McDavid made during Game 7 between the second and third period, I heard is just epic, as well as his reaction to the Oilers losing ultimately losing Game 7.
Mm-hmm. Last place we'll finish. Let's see how good JD is at playing doctor. What do we know about Thatcher Demko's injury situation?
We know that he's not expected to be back to start the season. There's no reason to rush him. I think that, you know, what happens is it definitely changes the narrative in Vancouver, because, you know, we got a small sample size of Arthur Slivos, and it, you know, fared quite well. And then, you know, is Kevin Lankinen the guy that, you know, that we once saw in Minnesota? I mean, the Canucks are saying all the right things, that this is a guy that they're quite confident in, and they don't really have much choice in the matter. But you know, that ultimately is the big question. You know, can their goaltending hold them together until Thatcher Demko is able to play? I mean, I like everything in front of them. I like the additions that they made. You know, the Jake DeBrus signing, the Daniel Sprong signing. You know, losing Lindholm, it worked out okay, but they replaced the offense there. And, you know, I think for Elias Pettersson, this is a big year for him. You know, Rick Tocchet has addressed the fact that he thinks, you know, look, he expects more from Petey, but he also said, look, I've got to be fair to him and not keep, you know, changing up his line mates every few games. So more consistency he needs to do. That's what he needs to do on his end as a coach. But look, I really like this roster. It'll be nice to see how guys like Desharnais and Forbert fit in. They're confident that they really think that they've got a good one in Desharnais. I mean, I thought he accounted himself quite well for most of last year. Forbert is a guy that you kind of hide right now in your third pair. He can kill penalties for you. I just think don't ask too much of him, but he's reliable. But also can't forget the fact that he found himself out of the lineup in the playoffs for the Boston Bruins last year.
Great stuff, JD. We'll do it again next week. We'll be just over or about, I think, exactly a week from the start of the regular season when we chat next week. Have a great rest of your week, pal. Thanks for spinning us around the Pacific, as always.
Always a pleasure, sir. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Jonathan Davis, NHL Network, NHL Network Radio. You can find him on Twitter at West Coast HKY. He joins us Wednesdays to spin us around the Pacific Division, which... I don't know. I really don't know what to expect from the division this year. There's a lot of question marks around the Vegas Golden Knights and the Vancouver Canucks. And I don't know, like, is Anaheim going to be any better? Is San Jose going to be dead last with all that young talent? Is Los Angeles primed to take a step back? Lots of questions about this Pacific Division this year. He joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. Quick story on Atlas Pizza. Was out over the weekend at a restaurant downtown, and I was out with a couple buddies, and one of my buddies likes to quiz servers just like to get their opinion. It's kind of like a test to see what their knowledge is of different spots. And so we were here downtown, great restaurant, finish up. And so where should we go next? I wasn't even going anywhere next. I was wiped and but he's like, where should we go next? And credit to the server. It was part of a group of restaurants, so suggested two or three other spots from that group of restaurants. But then was like, oh, and there's a place that I grew up near that I still love going to. You're always going to get great deals, great food, and a great atmosphere. Mention Atlas Pizza. I almost stood up and gave the server a round of applause in the middle of a somewhat classy restaurant. I was so proud. Damn right, Atlas Pizza is a good place to go visit.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that. A shout out. Well deserved.
I was very impressed by that. That'll start to wrap us up this hour. Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. Our producers, Cam Hughes and Shan Vergie. And that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at Calgary Lock and Safe.com.